I commend you to our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Kenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Amphiatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodion. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I talked with the young people today about thank you notes. I want you to think about the last time you received a handwritten thank you note. It probably stood out not because it was fancy, but because somebody took the time.
Somebody noticed. And they took the time to sit down and write out a note of appreciation and send it to you to say, you matter. I see what you've done. Thank you. Thank you note is a powerful thing. I get thank you notes from time to time. And I actually have a file in my office. And I call it the smile file. Because there are days when I don't feel like smiling, right? We all have those days, right? When life is rough and things just feel like they're piling on and you're just having a rough day. And on those days, I can open up my smile file and I can pull out a thank you note that somebody wrote me, or a card that they sent, or a drawing that one of the kids has given me. And it puts a smile on my face. Now, a couple weekends ago, we had Heritage Village Days over at the college. And I have had the honor the last few years of doing the opening prayer and singing the national anthem, and then doing the chapel service in the old chapel there. And I did the chapel service this year, and to be honest, I didn't really think much about it. I didn't really even prepare anything. I got up there, and I sang a couple songs, and I talked about the prodigal son, and went on with my day. And it was really cool, actually, because there were 35 people there. Normally, you only get 6 to 10 people, maybe, at those services. And I think because we changed the time this year, and we had to announce it over and over and over again to make sure that people got the right time so people knew about it and they came. But it was cool to have that church was kind of packed out in there. If you've ever been in there, it's not very big. But I left there not really thinking much about it. And then last week I got this note in the mail. And I have no idea who this person is. They signed it, but I don't know them. She says, Pastor Randy, I want to thank you for taking time out to do the old-fashioned service at Heritage Days. I will never think about the prodigal son in the same way. A friend was with me, and she is struggling right now with her mom dying any day now. She said that the church service was just what she needed to take her mind off her mom and to focus on God. you were being used by God Friday afternoon. How cool is that? Right? Something that I just kind of, oh, this is another thing that I do, and I'm just going to go do the thing. To be reminded that even in the mundane things that I'm being used by God, and that somebody appreciated that and cared enough to take the time to say thank you. That's powerful stuff. Now, when I was planning out this series in Romans, I was going through chapter by chapter and figuring out how I was going to break this all down and go through it. And I got to chapter 16, and I'm like, what in the world am I going to do with this? Like, it's just a list of names, right? But the more I thought about it, this is a really powerful thing that Paul does at the end of his letter. He's saying in this letter that God's mission, God's work is carried out by ordinary people. It's not about the famous people, the celebrities. The church is built not on celebrities, but on people doing the mundane, everyday stuff that needs to be done. Paul commends Phoebe, a deacon and a benefactor who was trusted to deliver his letter. He commends Priscilla and Aquila. They were tent makers. Paul was a tent maker, so these are probably people that he had worked alongside in the marketplace. They were risk takers. He says that the church met in their house. They were house church hosts. They welcomed the church into their home to worship together. God's mission advances through people like Phoebe and Priscilla and Aquila, people with day jobs, people with open hearts and willing hands, willing to be used by God. A few years ago, an elementary school decided to honor their outgoing principal. She was retiring, and they decided to honor her by having each of the students write a simple note about how that principal had impacted their life. Some of them wrote about how this principal had encouraged them to get through a tough class. Some of them remarked about her smile greeting them every morning when they came to school. And then they took all these notes and they made a paper chain that went all the way around the gymnasium. And when the principal came in, she sees this chain of notes. And when she saw that chain of notes, it wasn't just words on paper. She saw the story of each of those students. Each of those students saying, "You made an impact in my life." That's what Paul is doing here at the end in Romans 16. He's stringing together names, not as just filler at the end of his letter, but as a living chain of gratitude, a human thank you note to God, written in the lives and the work of all these people who made the church in Rome possible. And just like that principal could point to each note and tell a story, Paul could see the face and the ministry and the impact of each of the people that he mentions in this chapter. The other thing that we notice here is that God sees and honors what we often overlook. Paul talks about Mary, who he says worked very hard. Tryphena and Tryphosa, women who labored in the Lord. He talks about Rufus's mother, who was also like a mother to Paul. These were small kindnesses that left a lasting impact. Now, we may not know the details of their stories, but God does. God sees what is going on, even things that we would miss. I like houseplants. I'm not very good at houseplants, but I like them, so I try. Jody's back there laughing because she knows there's a couple of dead ones that I got to clean out. But when you have a house plant, you see the stem and the leaves and maybe the flowers, right? But what's really important is what's going on under the dirt. What's really important is what's going on with the roots. When you see something going wrong with the leaves, it's because something's been going wrong with the roots for a while now, right? The leaves are just a symptom of a bigger problem. And what Paul is talking about here, these are the roots. These are the things that are going on underneath the surface that we don't see. People who are hard at work, not looking for recognition, not looking for glory, just doing the work day in, day out to keep the church moving. There's a chapter in the book of Hebrews, and some people call it the Hall of Faith, right? Like the Hall of Fame. And it says, you know, Abraham, you know, did this and it was credited to him as faith. And Sarah did this and it was credited to her as faith. And Moses did this and it was credited to him as faith. And it talks about all this thing. And some people, they call it the Hall of Faith. Like, these are people that we should go, wow, look at what they did. And I struggle with that a little bit, partly because, well, let me put it this way. When you go to the NFL Football Hall, has anybody ever been to the NFL Football Hall of Fame? Couple, okay. When you go there, you see these people who have accomplished amazing things that none of us could ever do, right? These are people who have incredible athletic talent. They've worked incredibly hard to hone those talents, and they've done incredible things that we're just not capable of. But these people who are listed in Hebrews, they did things that you and I are capable of. Think about this. Think about the amazingness, the way the Old Testament was written, right? The Hebrews wrote the Old Testament. Obviously, with God's help, they wrote their history. But think about how messy the Old Testament is. If you were going to write your life story, tell me you wouldn't leave out some of the messy parts. Right? You're going to write about all your successes and all your victories and all the good things that you did, and you just kind of, oh, we don't need to include that story. We can leave that out. But they included all of it. There's all kinds of mess in the Old Testament. I think the Old Testament would probably make a great soap opera. Right? There's all kinds. There's betrayal and murder and intrigue and adultery and all kinds of craziness that goes on. And they included all of it in the story. And I believe it's important that that's in the story because it shows us that God uses broken, sinful people. So it's not about the Hall of Faith, like, oh, look at what those great people did that I could never do. It's, wow, look at how God used those broken people to accomplish his works. Look at how God used those people who made mistakes, who screwed things up, and God still chose to work through them. And you and I should find that encouraging. Because you're broken and screwed up. And I'm broken and screwed up, right? And to know that God uses broken, screwed up people, that's really encouraging. That's good stuff. That's good news. Paul goes on to talk about how the church is a family of shared love. It's not just a network of people. These are people who truly love and care about each other. And they're knit together because of their relationship and their commitment to Jesus Christ. The phrase is repeated over and over, in the Lord. These people worked together in the Lord. These people labored in the Lord. Their connection was in Christ, and it was a deep, meaningful connection. These are not Facebook friends, right? I have a stupid number of Facebook friends, because if anybody says they want to be my Facebook friend, I say, sure, whatever. I have like 1,000 friends on Facebook, right? How many people of those do I really know? A few. But what do they know? What do we know of each other when we're just Facebook friends? We just see the good times and the pictures that we want people to see, right? We only put our best pictures up there anyways. But these are deep, meaningful relationships. These are people who do life together. Look around this room and think about the times where somebody in this room has been with you when you really needed somebody. When you were having a really, really rough day or week or month or year. These are people who will hold you up when you can't hold yourself up. These are people who will cry with you, who will stand with you, who will laugh with you, who will celebrate with you. These are deep, deep relationships. Paul ends by instructing them to greet one another with a holy kiss. Who wants to bring that back? I think we've replaced that with a holy hug, right? And I mean that, right? We hug each other when we care about each other, right? When you see somebody that you deeply care about, you haven't seen them in a while, and they come through that door, you want to wrap your arms around and hug them and say, man, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. But it's a sign of a close, deep relationship. A community that loves this way glorifies God and draws people in. People want to be a part of that kind of love. And we have a family reunion. It's not just the joy in seeing people or seeing the faces. The joy is in the shared stories and the shared history and the experiences and knowing that you're part of something bigger than yourself. Paul's list of greetings here, it's not just a history lesson. It's not just a list of names. It's a reminder that God's mission relies on ordinary people. People like you and me. Faithful people. So this week, my challenge to you is to live your life as a living thank you note. Encourage someone whose service goes unnoticed. Did you know we had a picnic here last week? Were you here? How many were here at the picnic? Right? We had a picnic here. I had nothing to do with that. There were people that came in the day before and got all the tables and chairs set up. Many of you prepared a dish to bring. There were people who showed up early to make sure that the kitchen was ready and that all the food was ready to be served, that got all the stuff out, got everything taken care of, that stayed after to wipe down tables. All these things that happened, and not one of those persons said, hey, can you make sure that you thank me in church next Sunday? Nobody. They're not asking for thanks. They're not asking for recognition. They're just doing the things. Recognize people who do the things that go unnoticed. Reflect on how God might use you and what you might think of as your ordinary gifts and talents, how God might use you to continue to support this ministry. Paul often talks about the body of Christ and how we're one body, but we're many members. Right? The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The nose can't say to the eye, you're no good, get out of here. Right? He says we have all these different parts and they all work together to make this happen. And he compares that to the body of Christ, that each of us has a different function. You might be a thumb. I might be a nose. And we need each other. We all have different gifts to bring, and some of those gifts are more visible than others. I am not better than any one of you in this room because I stand up here every Sunday morning. 99% of the time, I'm preaching to myself, and I'm figuring if I need to hear it, you might probably need to hear it too. God uses ordinary people every single day. And look for ways to build up this church family, whether it's through words or actions or just your presence. Let's make this church a place where people feel seen and known and loved Because that brings glory to God. Amen? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this letter. This letter where Paul bears his heart. And he reminds us in this chapter that each person who is actively at work in the church, no matter how ordinary it may seem, that you are using them, that you are working in them and through them to continue to build your church. God, continue to use us to build your church. No matter how unimportant we think we are, how we think our task might be a simple thing that anybody could do, God, help us to continue to do those things in your name, for your honor, and for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray that all God's people said. Amen. Amen.